This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Last segment, we were talking about doing group fitness, and I go back all the way to those traumatic times in public school, especially when I was at elementary school with all the other kids and I couldn't follow them because of my vision or lack thereof. And I'd be doing, okay, kids, do this, do that. And some kid beside me would say, you're not even doing what we're doing. I'm trying.
Oh, no.
So I have a feeling I may have come off of, you know, no. I'm not a big fan of that. This is the area. And I certainly agree with so many of the things we spoke about encouraging each other because you're there. It's just like running alongside with somebody and they're, come on, this is a heavy hill. Oh, I've got a stitch. Come on, we can do it. Let's make you feel that energy and almost like they're carrying you up the hill along with themselves. So I definitely see the benefits, but I also know those scars of,
you're not even doing the right thing.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's true. It's true for many things, all kinds of sports, right? Like, or physical exercise or recreation things, anything that has to do with movement. I found that I'm working through so much of not being able to do it in the past, the fear of what people are thinking or what they've said out loud already, you know, the lack of accommodation, etc.
Well, I can guarantee at some point or another, our next guest has heard that.
What are you doing? You're not even doing the right thing.
Let's bring Greg David on as we talk television with our communication specialist here at AMI.
I'm Greg David, and I love television. Reality shows, dramas, sitcoms, and documentaries. I watch them all. I'm excited to share my passion for the television industry with you in front of and behind the cameras as it changes and evolves.
Greg, you're talking radio, not even TV.
How are you, pal?
I'm good. As soon as when you were talking about that, I quickly Googled it. Do you remember the Canadian Fitness Awards and how in elementary school you had you got these patches if you did the high jump?
What?
And the
Award of
jump.
Excellence. Award of Excellence.
Yeah. So, Kelly, we can go on Etsy and just buy the gold ones. So, we earned them. They're $6. So, remember, I can go on Etsy or eBay and order these for us right now if you want.
You remember doing things like Shuttle Run or Next Arm Hang?
Yes. Oh. And the speed sit-ups, that was a traumatic time in my life. You know, you're in elementary school, you're, you know, gangly and uncoordinated, and then they ask you to do these things in front of your classmates, too. Yep. And, yeah, boy, when you said, oh, he's not doing it right, that was my whole life in elementary school.
Wow.
Flexed arm hang was horrible because they said, keep the bar in the middle of your eyes.
Yeah.
And you'd be shaking. And everybody,
lock your elbows.
Look at Greg, he's shaking.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens. Stop the nightmares. Speaking of nightmares, let's talk about some old TV, man.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to start off your segment by going back in time. You previewed this discussion a while ago where we talk about the primetime TV programming. So let's see where we're going back to, Greg. What shows were on at this particular time? What do you got for us and what year?
Yes, I'm going back to May the 18th, so today, but 1971, ironically, the year that I was born. And here is what was on primetime TV in the U.S. At 8 p.m. on CBS, we had Green Acres. Which, of course, now the little bit of backstory on Green Acres, which was a sitcom. This followed on the success of The Beverly Hillbillies and Petticoat Junction.
Right.
And the producer of those two shows, a guy named Paul Henning, was told by CBS, "Okay, we need another half hour sitcom to slot into the schedule," and that's where Green Acres came from. And Kelly probably has the theme music in his head already, but Oliver Wendell Douglas, who was played by Eddie Albert, was a prominent and wealthy. He was a New York City attorney, and he was fulfilling his dream of being a farmer. And he brought his wife, Lisa Douglas, played by Eva Gabor, who had no clue about what farming was, uprooted her, and they moved from their upscale Manhattan penthouse apartment to a defunct farm in Hooterville. Now, we can't say that word anymore, I don't think, but where Oliver purchases this property, and it's just all about them kind of messing up their property and learning the ropes on Green Acres. I remember this show. I remember the theme music, and I remember I didn't like it.
No, I never watched the show. Well, I say I never watched it. I watched it long enough to know I didn't like it. I always changed the channel on it, would come across, and I would just, oh, it just send me as a kid. Like, I'm not watching this stupid thing. It made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny that you and I both agree that we didn't like it, because I think we might be that, the audience. So yep. I'm surprised that it was so successful.
I think we were probably too, like, sort of too young for it.
Yeah, yeah. There were probably double entendres that flew right over our heads.
I would say so back then, 90s. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At 7:30 p.m. over on ABC, it was The Mod Squad. And this was all about a police captain who recruited a trio of hippie cops, I'm using quotes, with checkered pasts to infiltrate the counterculture and nail the adult criminals preying on clueless young Southern Californians. And this youth squad is made up of Pete, whose wealthy parents kicked him out of their posh Beverly Hills home, Link, a survivor of the ghetto, and Julie, a former sex worker arrested for vagrancy. And I'm just trying to remember the name of the guy that played Link. Kelly, you might know.
No, he's a veteran. I would know it if I heard it, but I don't really. That was another show. I never watched that, of course, at my age. It was kind of one of those ones that even in repeats never took me ever.
Yeah, same with me. But like, Ramya, if you want to know the 1970s encapsulated, watch an episode of The Mod Squad, because you've got afros, you've got bell-bottom jeans, you've got Hey Man, you've got the muscle cars, you've got everything encapsulated in an episode of The Mod Squad.
So, California style, right? Like you said, because that was really what was starting to really pique people is California life, right? You had all the beach nonsense movies of the 60s, and then you start coming into this stuff, and it was like, oh my God, let's get surfing. But these were how you rolled drama into it. So interesting.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And then the last one I wanted to mention quickly is 8 p.m. on NBC. It was the Don Knotts show. So Don Knotts was always like the other guy in a sitcom. He was given his own variety show. And each week he would have guests stop by, and they would sit in rocking chairs and quietly discuss their philosophies of life.
Barney, yeah,
that's brutal. I thought it was a play on the word donuts. Never mind.
The donuts show. No, and that's the thing, right, Kelly? In the 70s, 60s and 70s, variety shows, talk shows were all the rage, and everybody seemed to have them. And this is the case for Don Knotts. I didn't even know he had his own variety show.
Me neither. I remember the name of it, but I never would have watched it. This whole lineup of these shows that night, I don't know what I was doing. After Disney, I must have went to sleep or something like that at that age, because these are like, oh my God. Yeah, okay. Don Knotts also played Barney Fife over there on Andy Griffith. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I guess one of his biggest guests, he was doing a lot of stuff with Tim Conway, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And of course, Tim Conway, you know, in his own right, having a huge career on the Mary... Carol Burnett show. Carol Burnett. I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah, it's okay. It was interesting, that's for sure. If you like that kind of stuff, and of which, when I was a kid, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep doing these series and see where you guys land, and, you know, if you were watching it or your likes and dislikes, because
I'm scared Mod Squad would turn you off of 70s TV, period.
We'll see. Okay, so moving to the present day, because there's lots of stuff going on. This is a follow-up to your last segment. The U.S. television networks did the rest of their spring cleaning, as we call it. There were many, 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 many more cancellations last week. One of them was really shocking to some audience members. Magnum PI, what's going on?
Yeah, this is a really weird one. After four seasons, CBS has announced that Magnum PI will not come back. This was one of the highest rated series on CBS, so a real surprise and disappointment for fans that loved it. I was just talking to a couple of people last night in an event that asked me why it had been canceled. And the reason is the licensing agreement between the network and the production company. For folks that don't know, a network like CBS will buy a show from a production company, say Warner Brothers or 20th Century Fox. And in the case of Magnum, they couldn't come to a conclusion as to how much money CBS was going to pay. And basically, CBS said, okay, we're walking away from the deal. So a real shocker for fans. Like I said, a high-rated show on CBS has gone away.
That's too bad, since CBS was the originating network for the original You hate to see the history out. And now, can they go shop it elsewhere, Greg?
Yeah, they could go shopping it elsewhere. I mean, it would be the production company that would be shopping it around to a different network. You know, it could show up on a Netflix or something like that, or it could be that just people will just go, you know, move on to other projects. I mean, you know, this has been, in addition to Magnum, Hawaii Five-O got a remake over on CBS. MacGyver got a remake on CBS. So now with all three of those shows gone, they're kind of back to the drawing board with some of their programming.
Yeah, they'll find some more remakes. Simon, could you guys come on out here? What else did they cancel last week, sir?
Yeah, so CBS also canceled a sitcom called Be Positive, about a sitcom about a therapist and newly divorced dad who has to find a kidney donor and runs into a woman who's rough around the edges named Gina, who volunteers her own kidney. That lasted for two seasons on CBS. Another sitcom called United States of Al, about a Marine combat veteran struggling to readjust to civilian life in Ohio. So that was canceled after two seasons. Good Sam, which is a medical drama that just debuted this past fall, about a female doctor named Sam Griffith who excels in her new leadership role as a chief of surgery after her boss falls into a coma, and then her former boss wakes up months later demanding to resume his duties, and so she's caught in that whole kind of back and forth and push and pull. I only saw bad reviews about Good Sam, so they might have misnamed it. They probably should have called it Bad Sam.
So is this kind of normal? Like, I'm seeing this list and I'm like, that's a lot of cancellations, especially for newer shows. But this, you know, minus the fans who wish there was a continuation of any of these names, and we're going to continue talking about other networks, is it normal for networks to be like, okay, next, 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 you know, like just move on if things aren't doing well?
Yeah, it's a good question, Rami. And the short answer is no. CBS especially is used to kind of keeping shows around. But as we kind of go through this list, you're going to see that there have been a lot of shows canceled this year, a lot more than usual. And I think that it's just a reaction to the popularity of the streaming services, that the networks are just trying to find something that sticks.
They're really house cleaning.
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, let's keep moving then. NBC?
Yep, over at NBC, the Kenan Thompson sitcom Kenan has been canceled. Mr. Mayor, a sitcom starring Ted Danson, has been canceled as well. Both sitcoms, a little bit surprised about the Kenan Thompson being canceled because it was doing well in the ratings. He played a local Atlanta TV personality and single father. And then again, Ted Danson, I mean, you'd think the star power of him would keep this show going, but it was about an LA businessman who decides to run for mayor of his city and actually wins a seat. So, I mean, that might be the reason there. I wasn't tuning into that one at all.
Where do you want to go? Because we've got about a minute. What do you want to just grab shows? I just got a bit here.
Yep, for sure. So let's finish off with the CW, where there were many, many cancellations. Charmed, about a group of sisters that discover that they're witches. Legends of Tomorrow, the latest DC Universe program series was canceled. Batwoman, about the cousin of vigilante Bruce Wayne who steps in when he leaves the city. And In the Dark, about a young woman who's tries to solve her friend's murder. And that's an interesting one, Kelly, because I know that that you knew about this show, and there was a lot of discussion about whether the lead actress who's going to be playing the lead character was actually a member of the blind community. So what are your thoughts on those shows?
It's an interesting lineup of shows that I'll say kind of disappeared. And when that many, the Batgirl one, the blind related that one In the Dark, totally expected that.
Robbie, how about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't expect anything anymore because, like you said, it's all up to par with the bar is at the streaming services. That's where it's at, right? So now networks are really fighting, and it's clearly showing here on multiple levels.
I think it's just so hard to figure out what people, because we're fickle, what we want, when.
Yeah, we move on.
We do.
Like, we move on before the networks do.
And it changes so readily, and you never know what'll stick to the wall. Greg, thanks. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when Greg joins us when we talk all things television on the network. We meet Mark Miller next, a piano teacher who specializes in teaching blind and partially sighted students around the world. We learn more about him and his unique teaching style when we return on Kelly and Company.
The Walrus is Canada's conversation, and you're invited to take part. Download AMI's Voices of the Walrus, where professional narrators read selected articles from the magazine. Available wherever you download your AMI podcasts.